find the answers to questions you may or may not have asked yourself here at Collider Science, Conversations on Cognitive Science. Welcome to this episode, which is our last episode of our second season. And as usual in our last, and usually also in our, as our first episode of a season, we are not doing an actual interview with guests, but have an episode with all of the hosts. Sadly, not all producers, since one of us is sick today. But yeah, we're going to chat a bit about our past season and also what's ahead. So welcome to all of us.
Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
And also a quick shout out to all our listeners who have been with us for this many episodes now and are hopefully still listening. You might have heard a slightly more unfamiliar voice just now, which, well, was Imogen. She was already host in, I think, two episodes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the Christmas special and the episode with Professor Kühnberger on AI and music.
You just heard her voice again, which was due to some, well, personal difficulties in organizing recordings from our side. So we decided to take her on our hosting team a bit earlier than planned, but she will join us from our next season, so the third season, and help us recording more often there. We will now officially welcome her as a full host of our podcast. So welcome. And do you maybe want to say a bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Imogen, or short Imo. And yeah, I've joined in the second season after Elisa was looking for reinforcements in the cognitive science students chat, mainly for social media and producing tasks. Yeah, and I messaged her and said that I was really interested in participating, and that's how I ended up here. But that's also why you haven't heard my voice as much before. You've maybe seen me on Instagram or heard me on Instagram, where I did some background reels, like with background information on the topic blocks. Yeah, and now I'm also joining the hosting team, and I'm really looking forward to it.
We're happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Can you maybe tell us a bit about your background and what your main interest in cognitive science is?
Yeah, so I'm currently doing my master's in cognitive science, and I have kind of specialized in the more computational parts of cognitive science. I've done some courses on cognitive modeling. I've been to a workshop at Brown University last year, which was crazy. And now I'm going in the direction of knowledge graphs, how we can represent knowledge so it's human and machine interpretable. Yeah, that direction.
Thank you so much.
Have you enjoyed your first year podcasting with us?
It was so fun. I learned so much. I haven't really done anything in the realms of social media before, or animating short form content. I learned a lot. And one of my first things that I did for the podcast was go to a podcasting conference with Elisa for 3 days, which was really, really fun. And just it felt a bit like being thrown into cold water, because we were asked about our podcast constantly. And I don't know, it was October and I'd been with the podcast since July or something like that. So I was always referring to Elisa, but yeah, it was really, really fun.
Yeah, but I think you did pretty good there as well. I mean, I think you also gave a workshop on, was it? I just remember that you gave one super spontaneous workshop on something,
yeah,
and I was just so amazed
right.
by that.
Yeah. I did a workshop on sticker design, because I did that for our student body. Like they wanted to do a workshop on that originally anyways, but then the person who wanted to give that workshop just didn't have the capacities anymore. And then I was like, well, that topic really interested me. I really wanted to like talk to other people about this. And then I went to the organizers and told them, well, I guess I could do the workshop. I have stuff to say about that. I guess I did it a couple of times for our student body. So I know the basics. And yeah, it was super spontaneous. I think I had like 30 minutes to prepare for that. And then we sat there in a room with, I think it was like 5 or 6 people. So it was really, really chill. And yeah, it was super nice because they were all really appreciative of me doing the workshop. And we had a really nice round of, I don't know, talking about stickers and design. It was really fun. Yeah, maybe to add, the conference was really chill and community organized, so everybody was able to participate with workshop ideas, or everybody was also supposed to help out with, for example, managing the cameras for the live streams and so on. So it was quite low-key, not like a big scientific conference or something like that. Yeah, just a really, really nice setting.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't even remember that you ended up doing a spontaneous workshop.
I kind of also forgot about that.
Okay, and as we said at the beginning, we just hit our 2-year anniversary milestone, which is actually super exciting because I think at the beginning, none of us, well, I think at least I hope that we would manage to keep going for that long, but I'm not sure if we all expected to keep it going so long. And I saw Sophie slightly shaking her head, so she was definitely not convinced.
I feel like considering how little we knew each other, I mean, I didn't know Sönke basically, I only knew you because we had worked together, and Alina. And the fact about how many life changes we've all gone through in the past 2 years, I feel like, yeah, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, that's true. But we also didn't know about our life changes, so.
I mean, some, like, graduating are kind of expected or, like, hoped for. Moves and job searches are a little more unpredictable, I feel like.
Especially spontaneous moves that are organized 2 weeks beforehand. Can't recommend that works. Okay, but back to our podcast. Sönke, can you maybe, since you have the stats usually on, well, not on your mind, but you have access to them, could you maybe...
Sönke knows all of them by heart.
Of course he does.
Day to day, he looks them up to report to us.
Could you maybe tell us a bit about our current stats?
Yeah, sure. I only can tell you about the stats from Spotify. So our podcast is, of course, available on multiple platforms. They each have their own statistics, but like the ones from Spotify is, first of all, the platform where we are heard the most. And second of all, they have this very nice visualization. And I just wanted to go through like the top 5 countries where we are listened from, because there's like a nice world map, and it is kind of like a heat map where you can see which countries the most listeners come from. And the number one country is, of course, Germany, with over 1,800 streams. And the second country below 100 streams, 90 streams, is the Netherlands. And after that, it's the United States on the third place, and Egypt on the fourth, and Poland on the fifth. And the list goes on with less and less streams up to 56 countries in total.
That's not too bad.
That's a lot.
Is there any country that really surprises you since you have the list open?
I mean, I wasn't sure where we would be heard from. I mean, Germany, of course, is very obvious. And the Netherlands, with Sophie being there and some of our guests coming from there, is also not too surprising. But like everything else, I mean, the United States also, if you have like an English-speaking country, and also some of the guests are from there, but then like already in the top five, Egypt and Poland, and after that it's Turkey, Italy. Those are all kind of unexpected. yeah, I don't know if you had like a clear vision in mind that we would be heard on all continents, basically. but I certainly did not expect it.
Yeah, I think for me, especially Egypt, so high up is surprising. I would have expected that at least like other English-speaking countries would come before that, like the UK. But Egypt is super, super surprising. It's fascinating.
Last time we checked the stats, didn't we have this one country where this one person listened to just a bunch of episodes? Do you remember talking about that?
No.
I don't think you were there, but Dünke was there, so.
I remember that, but it was like very confusing, as like the number of listeners apparently was really high on that day, and there was like one country that was the only country where we had been listened to from, and there's also a stat between like the number of streams and the number of individual accounts that streamed, and it was like two accounts or something, but 30 streams, and it didn't make sense. I think like someone just pressed play on one episode and maybe forgot about it, and all the episodes went on in the background or something. But I don't remember the country the person was from.
Was it Burkina Faso? Is that possible? Yeah.
And do you also have some stats on what was the most listened episode this season?
Sure. The most listened episode this season is the one with Dr. Janosz Priebe, What Can We Do About Chronic Back Pain? That's like the title of it, but like we talked a lot about other types of pain, but mainly about back pain. And the second most listened to episode from season two is from a blog on attention, with the episode with I have trouble pronouncing the name, but Irini Kalagiopoulou or something like that. She's from Greece, and yeah, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce the name, but the episode is called "Do Pictures Aid Our Ability to Read or Do They Steal Attention?"
Nice.
So, and in our first blog, where we also talked to Janosz Priebe about chronic lower back pain, we also had the pleasure to talk to Helena Hartmann about empathy and pain. And I think that's a really cool episode, because when you think about pain, you like, I usually think about my own pain. And it was really cool to learn how we react to see other people's pain. And we also talked to Maite van der Miesen about habituation and sensitization to pain. So what repeated pain exposure does to us. And I think, yeah, generally the blog about pain was really interesting and also quite broad, considering that it's only one topic. So I highly recommend to tune into one of the episodes.
In our second blog, we talked about different tools that are somehow related to cognitive science that can be used for different kinds of treatments or supporting people. And for example, there we talked to Dora Meyer-Doll on deep brain stimulation, which is, I think, also sometimes called brain pacemaker, so in as analog to heart pacemaker. Where she does research on, I think it was depression, and how deep brain stimulation can positively impact depressive symptoms, if I'm not mistaken.
And additionally, OCD.
And OCD. It was on depression and OCD and how deep brain stimulation can support treatment in individuals which were labeled as treatment resistant. That means that usual treatment methods did not support them well enough to kind of get a real improvement. And we also talked to Martin Furtag, who is working on a bracelet that vibrates on your wrist and is designed to support blind individuals to grab objects they can't see anymore. And I think that's really cool research. I'm really looking forward to maybe hearing more from him in future. I met him some weeks ago again and was super fascinated by how it's going for him. And I think this whole blog was super interesting for kind of learning where you can actually apply science and developments that are from science, because it was all of the topics we've talked about were rooted in some science field, but had a real clear practical impact on supporting individuals. And I really like that, because usually what I feel like science remains quite separate from the people who might have use from it. And in this episode, we had some quite nice examples of how to really use tools.
The next blog was then on attention. And we talked to Irini on that topic, but also to two more people. One was Professor Ellie Domit. And when we're talking about attention, we of course have to talk about ADHD. And this is also, as I was not very familiar with the topic, a very interesting episode for me. And the third episode in that blog was with Professor Paul Verhagen. And he talked on how mindfulness can influence your attention and also other aspects of your life. And that was also a very interesting talk where I learned a lot.
And the fourth blog was actually the blog where I had my first hosting job here on the podcast. The blog was on music and cognition. And there we talked to Professor Kai-Uwe Kühnberger from the University of Osnabrück on, for example, how AI can be used to transcribe music, but also how AI can be used to compose music, and also how this already impacts the creative process and what other impacts this can have on music producers and just the music industry in general. And we also talked to Dr. Jesper Hohang on what happens in our brain when we make music. So when we play music, how the gestures also impact our cognition.
Our fifth blog then was on brain technology and AI modelings of the brain. And there we talked to Professor Tim Kietzband from the University of Osnabrück and also to Professor Pascal Nitas from the University of Osnabrück. And we talked a lot about how the brain can be kind of a blueprint for the developments in AI, and how also AI can accelerate our understanding of the brain. There was like a very interesting symbiosis between the two fields, and yeah, those were also really fun episodes to record.
And our most recent blog was on gender, sexuality, and feminism, where we talked to Professor Carol Hay on how and why we can apply Kant's theories to feminism. We also talked to Professor Robert Paul Juster and Mina Girard about how gender stereotypes affect non-binary people, and also in general a little bit about non-binary people in psychologic and neuroscientific research.
Thank you so much. And well, we did not mention all the episodes we had in each blog, just because we had 3 to 4 episodes per blog and didn't want to talk just about each topic. So if you want to know more about all the topics we cover, just look into our Spotify list or wherever you listen to your podcast, and there you will find for each block some more episodes we did not talk about right now. But just to give you a really short overview, we thought we'd just introduce two episodes per block to give you a very, very rough idea of what we covered the last season. Maybe since we just talked about our guests, was there a guest that surprised someone of you the most with what they do in their research?
I think one of the episodes that was the most surprising to me was when we talked to Dora Meyer-Doll. And on the one hand, I was surprised that I think, if I remember the stats correctly, more than 50% of treatment-resistant people with depression can be helped with these brain pacemakers. And on the other hand, that there might be a placebo effect involved with these brain pacemakers, because I've never actively thought about that. And it makes sense because apparently some people experience an improvement directly after implantation, even though the pacemaker isn't really turned on yet. And I found that quite mind-blowing because I had never thought about that.
Yeah. On the topics of placebo effect, I found the segment with Dr. Helena Hartmann really interesting, where she talked about placebo, but also the nocebo effect, and that the nocebo effect can have even can have an even stronger impact on, in this instance, our pain perception. And that just opened my eyes again to like the dilemma of medical professionals. On the one hand, they need to, of course, inform you of what can go wrong with the treatment that they want to prescribe you. But on the other hand, like if they tell you, then it's much more likely that these things actually like go wrong or that you experience any side effects. And yeah, I just found that really interesting. And yeah, it's just like a really grave dilemma.
I think for me, it was actually Carol Hay on Kant and feminism, because I had 2 years of Kant in my last 2 years of school. And I just never brought Kant into any relation with feminism. And honestly, even though I was in the episode, I had no idea of what to expect from the recording, just because for me it was such a weird concept to combine those two. And somehow this was one of the episodes that sticks out the most for me with regard to combining two concepts I never thought that could be combined in such an interesting way.
We now want to talk a bit about guests that surprised us a bit with their personality. And I think for me, who comes to mind is Professor Paul Verhaeren. I mean, we talked to quite a number of professors already, and I think they are much more open and friendly than you would expect maybe when you start studying. I think like, sometimes they can still be somewhat reserved and like very professional. I don't want to say that Professor Ha was unprofessional, but he was like very, very open and making a few jokes here and there. So like he had this, this very welcoming vibe, I would say. And I think like I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, he also gave us the option to post the episode announcement to use a photo of just him or him with one of his cats on his shoulders. That was really sweet. And of course, we used a picture of the cat. Yeah, even though I didn't record that episode, but I was involved in planning the episode, and who not really surprised me, but yeah, it was really pleasant to organize the episode with Professor Tim Kietzmann from our university, because so far I only knew him like as one of my professors that where I went to the lectures regularly and so on. But yeah, he's really super open, really nice. And you feel that he actually studied cognitive science here because he just has this cocky spirit that we have in our study program. It was really, really nice talking to him.
I was in the recording with Tim Kietzmann, and one thing I found really likable was that he was recording in his basement because he had visitors who were kind of upstairs, and he just said, like, I'm sitting in my basement. Around me is just not chaos, but he was just like, it's my basement, I'm recording that in. And I think those moments make guests really human, especially when you don't know them before. Like, I did not attend any of his courses. But those moments just make guests super human. Of course, they all are human beings, but usually there's still a gap between a professor at your university and a student. And I just really like that.
I think it also says a lot that he was recording the episode with us while he had guests in his house, and that he still like took the time to do the recording with us. It was really nice.
And I think usually you also only see the successes and achievements of professors. I think that's also something that ties in. So you see all the grants they've gotten, all the papers they've published, all the things they've developed for the field. And that's very impressive always. But usually you don't see like the little bloopers that happen in life, like the little moments where things go wrong or unexpectedly, or yeah. So seeing them in an interaction makes them more human, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe back to recordings. Were there any moments where one of our guests went completely off script and surprised us, you, in the recordings, but where it was in a good way? Because like, we don't want to talk about moments where guests went into a direction and we had to catch them, because that sometimes also happens, which can be fun. But I mean, the moments where they said something which caused the conversation to go into a totally different direction than we expected, but which actually helped understanding something better.
I think for me, Dr. Nadia Gignelli, when we asked her to introduce herself, she was so excited to talk to us about her topic that she basically just jumped straight in. She introduced herself, and then she also already started talking about her research because she's so passionate about it and she really wanted to share it. So we basically felt like we didn't have... So usually we have the part where people introduce themselves and we introduce them, and then we have quite a clear cut to where we start talking about the research specifically, and there I felt like that line got a bit blurred because she really wanted to talk to us about her research. I think also with Carol, with Professor Carol Hay, I think towards the end we kind of steered off script quite a bit and talked a lot about queerness and sexuality and feminism in the current political changes. And even though it wasn't planned like this, I think it was a very valuable part of that conversation.
I think something funny enough similar happened in the same block in the conversation with Professor Juste and Mina Gdoran, when they actually asked us back about how it's in Germany right now. We kind of talked about how it's across different countries and how we don't really, regarding trans openness or transphobia, and we talked about how it is across different countries and compared perspective from Canada on US and also how it is in Germany right now. And I also think that was one moment we did not plan beforehand, and which I think made the episode more valuable in the end because it was just an honest conversation. Like, of course, all our conversations are honest, but a conversation that was not intended or planned, but still added to the whole interview in the end.
And I think that's something that kind of developed in that blog also, that obviously researchers should be neutral, but also research always exists in a context. And I think that's something to be kept in mind, and that I also started thinking about differently when Professor Juster mentioned that they basically, like, he gets kind of accused that he's biased in his research because he's a gay man and he's doing research on the LGBTQIA plus community, and that people see that as a disadvantage, but obviously it can also be an advantage because you can provide a perspective a straight woman might not have, and therefore open new doors into research. And I think that kind of changed the way I look at research, like the whole blog. So I think that's pretty cool.
I think by that you also already answered one of our next reflection questions, which was, which episode taught you something that actually changed how you think? Do we have anything else besides that research is always influenced by the people who conduct the research, and that we can't really get that out, but it can also be an advantage? So is there anything else we learned?
I think what was the most surprising for me about a topic which I learned a lot about, but somehow missed that one aspect, and it was really enlightening when, again, Professor Kietzmann talked about neural networks and their relation to the human brain. And I always, of course, when you start learning about neural networks, like the artificial ones, you get explained like the basic idea that was copied from biology, basically, and how like one neuron is set up. And he said that in a modern artificial neural network, maybe one unit or one neuron, so to speak, does not correspond to like a single neuron in your brain in terms of computational power, but might be like a cluster of neurons or something. And I never thought about that. And I really found that surprising and interesting. And it like changed a little bit how I think about artificial neural networks, but that's like very deep into a topic maybe, and not like so relatable to people who are not really into the topic.
I think one thing that really stuck out for me was when, again, Carol Hay talked about how she ended up in the specific niche of feminism and Kant, because she said, well, I just didn't know that this was something you can't combine in philosophy. And because she also talked a bit about that she's not from an academic background or not from an academic family, and therefore didn't know how it's done traditionally, and just kind of explored what she found interesting and combined concepts that were not combined before, not knowing that this is considered something you should not do. And for me, quite eye-opening, because I'm also not from an academic family and always feel a bit lost when it comes to going further in science research, etc., because I often feel like I don't have a plan of what I'm doing and how to do things and how to proceed, just because for me it's not like, I don't have a family member that I could ask with, hey, how do you do that? I just try to figure it out myself or talk to friends. And this kind of gave me a perspective of it can actually also be good to not have a family with an academic background, because you sometimes then see things differently compared to people who were more nurtured into that direction.
It's almost like a disadvantage turned advantage.
On that note, I also still think about the episode with Professor Pascal Nitas, where he talked about his academic journey, because he also doesn't come from a family of academics. And I think he mentioned that he never thought about going into academia. For him, it was clear that he just wants to like go to industry and then work there. And but that one of his professors, who's also one of our professors, because he also studied in Osnabrück, he basically just assumed that he was going to do a PhD.
Even and his bachelor's. So already said in his bachelor's, you're going to do a PhD here anyways, right?
Yeah, and Pascal mentioned that he had never thought about that. And it just showed me again how important it is to have people tell you that this is this is something that you can do, like having people believing in you or supporting you, or not only supporting you but like telling you that you can do it before you even yourself think about it, whether you can do it or not. And that I think that it's sad that starting from school or kindergarten that we don't have the tight-knit support system so that every child or student has a person who goes to them or goes up to them and tells them, hey, you can do that, or have you thought about pursuing this or that?
I think that something that influenced my life in a very like applicable way was the episode with Paul Verhaeren, because we talked about mindfulness and meditation and the advantages on attention and other things. And since we recorded this episode, I've meditated a lot more. So this had like a very direct application to my life.
That's nice. Does someone have a personal highlight related to the podcast? I think actually I do, because some of our listeners who listened from the beginning might know that I had the original idea of the podcast and initiated it together with Sönke at the very beginning, before Sophie and at the beginning also Alina joined in. But especially for the first episode, where just Sönke and I were recording, the podcast always felt a bit like my baby. And the second season, when first Sophie only and later also Imogen for one episode joined in, when the first episode came out where just Sönke and Sophie had recorded it, I was super nervous. Not because I did not trust them, but just because kind of it felt a bit like seeing my baby project growing up a bit, because other people took over the recording parts. And I think that was really, I don't know if it was a personal highlight, but that was something that touched me quite a lot, because I think we talked about that in one of our meetings, and I think in the notes, I can't remember how it was written down, but it was something into the direction that Elisa has really happy mommy feelings about her podcast, something in that direction. And I think it's really nice to see how, maybe the highlight is for me that to see how the project changes, evolves, and how all people who are working on it are trying to make it the best podcast we can produce with the capacities we have available.
On that note, on growing the podcast, I think one of my highlights was that we actually got approached about like doing an interview with a professor from the US. I am not going into much more details here, because that episode might actually come out or may not. We are working on organizing that. Unfortunately, thematically, it didn't fit into the second season. So it didn't fit in any of the topic blocks that we had prepared for the second season. But yeah, we got approached about it. We told them, yes, we would potentially be interested in that. And then we got the manuscript for the book that he's publishing this year. And yeah, it's really cool that like people approach us to be in our podcast. I don't know. It was a bit of an ego boost.
Yeah, I think a highlight for me was, I mean, I also hosted my first full episode, if we like, apart from the Christmas special we did. And I was quite nervous to do that. And the episode went really well. And the chat, like, dependent on time constraints, sometimes guests stay after and we chat a little bit about the recording, about the episode, about the podcast. And yeah, that episode with Janusz Priebel, it was really nice to also like chat with him about science communication. And yeah, that he actually mentioned that he enjoys the podcast and thinks it's pretty cool what we do. And I think that was really nice to also like get the feedback that this went well.
Yeah.
And this might be a cheesy one. I think it's like, I also enjoy the group meetings. So obviously we are a science communication podcast, but we are also a group. And I feel like we've grown together quite a lot as humans. And we've also learned quite a lot about working together on a big project and organizing ourselves together, and also how to handle situations where somebody's not necessarily happy and how to discuss and mention problems. So I feel like we've grown a lot on like a human interaction level as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, to add on to that, I feel like I really got to know you, even though the only person from this podcast that I've met in person is Elisa.
Which is just due to the fact that I'm the only one who's still in Osnabrück from all the other people besides Imogen.
No, we just didn't want to meet Imogen. No. Obviously.
Yeah, you will think I'm an awfully unlikable person.
That's why we meet once a week and talk about the podcast. Yeah, I feel like if we didn't vibe as people, this would be a very difficult project.
It wouldn't work out at all.
Yeah, but the podcast meetings, they don't feel like meetings in the sense of work meetings or something like that. They feel like friendly socializing with like discussing podcast related stuff for, I don't know, 15 minutes or something like that. And then the rest is tangents about knitting or or
my cat, your cat.
Yeah.
Something we talked, like one question that we already talked about the answer is, what is our most often said sentence that never makes it to the episode? And
Sönke, I think it's Schneider's house.
So it's something into the direction, okay, Sönke, please edit that, or please cut that, or please do whatever.
We also said that a lot this episode today.
Yeah.
I think we should open one episode and it's just all of us saying, Sönke, can you cut this? And see how long that becomes.
I think it's not too long, actually.
I mean, just a sentence, no, but the amount of minutes that I have cut are quite a number. But there's a reason they were cut, so they will not be published.
Okay, so we need an episode not with us actually saying, Sönke, can you cut that? But with all the stuff that's been cut out because we discussed on how to proceed or just went off script totally.
Yeah, just to clarify, we obviously don't censor people. But sometimes people don't like how they phrased something, or they lose their train of thought, or they want to rework this idea. Same goes for us. Sometimes we mess up the introduction and stumble about words. So that's what we mean with like cut parts. We don't censor our guests, just to be clear about that.
No, and sometimes if we are not sure about one part in an episode, we just check in with our guests and ask them, hey, is that fine the way it is?
or do you want that to be cut? So if we cut out contents, then we always do it in agreement with our guest, or if a guest messages us later and says, hey, this part where I talked about that, could you please cut that out?
Just to clarify for scientific and journalistic integrity.
Yeah, but I think especially in science or science communication, it is like especially important to find the right words and to express stuff precisely, because it's so important to stick with like the truth. Truth isn't quite the right word, but like with the findings, to stick with the findings and what we actually have found out, what we actually know or assume at the moment.
Yeah. And then at the end, we of course also want to tease a bit the new season, which will start in October. So we will have a break from this episode until October. With episodes, we will of course be working on the podcast at from some point on to record the first episodes, etc., but won't be posting anything in that time. Morgan, do you maybe want to talk about which episodes we're going, or which topics we're going to cover in our new season?
Yeah, so our first topic block is going to be on hormones, especially like reproductive or sexual hormones, and how they can impact our cognition. We definitely want to talk about like the female cycle and how it impacts cognition, but we are also looking into male reproductive hormones, or how male cognition can be influenced through hormones. And something we have actually planned, like we actually wanted to do this whole second season, but we didn't really manage to find enough guests to make it a full block, is we want to talk about the science behind science communication. So because we're doing the podcast and we're also doing a bit over on Instagram, but there is such a broad bandwidth with ways how you can do science communication, and there are actually people who study what ways of science communication are effective, how you can actually reach the most people, what type of science communication is necessary. And we want to on the one hand talk to researchers who study that, but we also want to do short interviews with other people who do science communication. So yeah, definitely something to look forward to. And the other topic blocks that we have lined up are, on the one hand, chatbots and our relationships to chatbots, or in general, human-machine relationships. So, for example, when we chat with ChatGPT, like some people use it, for example, to talk about their personal problems, like what consequences does that have? What type of relationship can we actually form with chatbots and so on? And then we also want to talk about machine learning in medicine, because that is something that is already happening. There is already machine learning being applied in medicine and therapy, but there are some ethical concerns around that as well. And we want to talk about ways where machine learning can be used in medicine and is already applied in medicine, but the ethical concerns around that, and also the legal aspects, like we have a new AI Act in the EU that regulates this quite strictly. And I think that's just a really interesting field to explore.
Are there, of those four topics, is there anything one of us is most looking forward to? Like, I can say for me personally, it's topic 3 and 4, actually, because that are the two topics, or at least aspects of those two topics, are things I want to get more into later on as well, which is why I have really strong personal interest in them. So especially for kind of relationship or parasocial relationships to AI, but also how AI machine learning is used in different therapy domains. How is it for you guys? What are you looking forward to? Or which aspect maybe also?
I think for me, it might be the science behind science communication, because we've been wanting this blog to do this blog for a while. And one of the reasons this turned out difficult is that we didn't find that many researchers who actually do science on science communication. There are a lot of great researchers out there who do great science communication, but yeah, it's surprisingly little research on the mechanisms. Or maybe we just haven't found it yet. I mean, we have looked into it, but...
So if you know someone who is doing research, please send us a name. We will take it into account.
Yes. So now we found like a few people who we're gonna invite. Yeah, but I'm very looking forward to it, to understand how science communication can be made more effective, because obviously that's something we are also interested in for our own podcast.
I think also for me is the fourth block on machine learning and medicine really interesting, because I think medicine is maybe the field where the societal impact of machine learning is like the biggest at the moment, I guess, or like the potential for the impact is enormous. And that there's also like a very positive thing, but there might be some pitfalls. So I'm very interested in learning about those.
Are you looking forward to something, Imogen?
So I'm also really looking forward to our first block of the new season, the one on hormones and cognition. Like, as a person, I would say I'm quite in tune with my menstrual cycle, in the sense of I have a good feeling of when my period is about to start and so on, but that is mainly because I struggle with like PMS symptoms, and I'm really looking forward to learn how other parts of the cycle impact cognition, and maybe how I can even use this thing that really annoys me a lot, my hormones and my ability to rationalize and so on, shifting throughout my cycle, maybe how I can even use that to my advantage.
Okay, so we will start back up. So we will be here and be working on things, as Elisa mentioned, meaning we will also be available via email. Answers might take a little bit longer than usual, because we also would like to take some holiday. And generally, we're excited to see you back in October. And we hope you are excited to listen to us again.
All right. And going into our summer break, we now have actually a task for you guys, or something we would like to ask you to do. We prepared a survey about the contents of our podcasts, what you like to hear, what we can actually improve on. And the survey will be linked in the podcast description, and we will also link them in our Instagram feed. And if you have any other feedback, of course, you can just write us an email. Our email address is kaleidopod@uos.de. Way to spell that in English. And you can find our Instagram account under kaleidoscience_pod on Instagram. We're looking forward to your feedback.
And I think with that said, I don't have anything to add. Sünke, do you have something to add? And Sophie and Imogen both added their parts.
I don't have anything to add, no.
Okay, so then see, or better, hear you guys back in October. Thank you all for listening. And please, if you did not yet do so, remember to subscribe us wherever you listen to us, to share our contents if you liked the episode particularly, and have a friend who might also enjoy listening to it. To also follow us on Instagram and leave us a review on wherever you're listening to us, because that really helps us to be found by other listeners who have not yet stumbled across us. So with that said, see you in season 3.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
You've listened to Collider Science, Conversations on Cognitive Science, hosted by Elisa Palmer, Sönke Löw and Sophie Kühne. Produced by Clara Kühne, Imogen Hüsing, Elisa Palmer, Sönke Löw and Sophie Kühne. Produced in collaboration with the Cognitive Science Student Journal. The music was produced by Jan-Lukas Schröder. The logo was designed by Annika Richter. Thank you for listening and joining us on our journey through Conversations on Cognitive Science. This podcast is not sponsored and does not give us any financial profit. If you wish to support us, the most effective way is to do so by leaving us an up to 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and following us on Instagram. You can reach out to us via mail, comment on YouTube, or message us on Instagram. We are always happy to hear your feedback. Thank you again for listening to us and for your interest in science. If you have any questions regarding this episode or any of our other episodes, feel free to reach out. You can reach out to us via Instagram by sending us a direct message at kaleidoscience_pod or write us an email at kaleidopod@us.de. You can find both links to our Instagram and also the email address in our show notes. We do read all your comments and will also reply to you as soon as we can.